Christ is risen.
Today we are going to have an important event in the life of our church. What's going to happen today? Don't you know? Sunday school, church school graduation. Did you know that? Today we are going to have the church school graduation. However, I want to ask you, why do you come to church school? To learn about God. Anybody else have any other answer? Why do we want to learn about God? Why is it important to learn about God? So we want to know how to worship God, right? We want to know who He is. Why is it important for us to know who God is? Why is it important for us to know who God is? Why?
So it's important because we get to know who created us.
Very good, it's because we get to know who created us and what's the Bible telling us about the Lord God. That God created us how? Or God created us to be like who? God created us to be like Him. Did God create us to be like, like a sheep or like a dog? God created us to be like Him. That's why it's very, very important to know who God is, because if we know who God is, then we know who we are called to become. And what is one of the best definitions of God that the Bible gives us? St. John the Evangelist gives us what I think is the best definition of God.
Life-giving,
very good. God is life-giving for sure. But what is St. John the Evangelist saying about God? God is love. God is love. So if God is love, and we are called to become like God, how we are told to become?
Love.
That's why you come to church school. And that's why you come to church. To become more and more and more loving. You don't come to church school to become religious. Have you ever thought about that? You don't come to church school or to church to become religious. We saw in this gospel some people were very religious, right? The Pharisees. The Pharisees were very religious. They knew what was right, what was wrong, and they wanted everybody to do what they thought was right. That's what a religious person does. What Jesus did on that Saturday, on the Sabbath, on the day when the Jews were told not to do anything, just to praise and worship God. Anything wrong about that? No. On the Sabbath, the Jews were called to pray, to worship God, to get closer to God, and not to do anything else. And Jesus saw a blind man. A man who didn't lose his sight during life. He was born blind. He was born without eyes, without eyeballs. Can you imagine that? It's not even that he had bad eyes. He had eyes that he could not see. He had no eyeballs. He was born without eyes. And Jesus saw him. And his disciples asked him who sinned. He or his parents. Why was he born blind? Again, the disciples said the religious spirit. They thought that this man was born blind because he must have sinned or his parents sinned. Again, not being religious. Who sinned? Why is this tragedy happening to him? Jesus said, nobody sinned. It's not about that. This happened so that the work of God might be revealed. And what he did? He made clay with his saliva. He anointed The places where the eyes were where his eyes were supposed to be. And he told him, go and wash at the pool of Siloam, which was at the outskirts of the city of Jerusalem, far away. And this blind man, with not seeing yet, with this clay on his on the spots of his eyes, went to the pool of Siloam, he washed, and then he saw. When the Pharisees heard about this, when the Pharisees heard what Jesus did on Saturday, on the day of rest, they said, no. This was a sin. This man is a sinner. Because he healed, he worked on the Sabbath when he was not supposed to work. Now, was it lucky?
No.
But they were right. They were right. Were not they right? You're trying not to respect the Sabbath. God doesn't want us to be even right. This is something that I really want you to keep in mind for the rest of your life. God doesn't care about us being right or wrong. God doesn't want us to be right. God wants us to be loving. And sometimes, in order to be loving, you have to do what is not right. Can you give me an example of doing something that is loving but not according to the rules? Do you have some rules in school?
Helping someone on a test. Helping someone on a test.
Now, yes, during the test, you know, during the, do you think that you know that that's an example? Because I'm supposed to have someone during the test?
No.
Is it loving to have someone during the test? Is it loving or not?
It's not.
But what about noticing before the test that one of your colleagues didn't study? One of your colleagues didn't care about the test. One of your colleagues who is fooled by the devil to play all day long and not to study for the test. What's loving to do in that situation? Is it loving to tell that colleague, you know what you are doing is not right? You're supposed to study. You should go home and study. Or to tell that friend, no. What about studying together today? Would you like to go to study with me? You could be loving and helping the person, that colleague, that schoolmate, without hurting his or her feelings, right? And then you don't have to cheat during the test. And to do, and why helping somebody during the test would not be loving?
Hopefully you will get
in trouble. Not only that, but on the long run. On the long run, what would happen to that person? Would that person become a better person? Would that person see more like the man in this gospel? Jesus helped that man see. Would that colleague of yours, you know, if you helped him during the test, would he have a better understanding of life? No, he was thinking that, you know what? I don't study, no problem, you're not going to help me during the test, and life's going to be easy. In fact, he'd have a narrower vision of life, right? A more distorted vision of life. So try to be loving. Don't be religious. Don't become, you know, very concerned about what is right, what is wrong, but you know what, and then become judgmental. Be loving. And do what God would do in any situation. And thus, you'll become more and more like God. And you'll graduate at the biggest graduation the last time. Christ is a daughter saw her mother and cutting the legs of the turkey, putting the legs next to the turkey, then putting the lid over the turkey and putting the turkey in the oven. Mom, why do you cut the legs of the turkey? Because that's what we do in our family. That's our tradition, to cut the turkey legs and put them in the found out that tradition was started by her great-grandmother, who didn't have a big enough pot for the whole turkey, so she had to cut the legs of the turkey to be able to cook the whole turkey for Thanksgiving. That was the only reason that it became a tradition. It became a religion. In this gospel, we see our Lord Jesus Christ opening the eyes, giving eyes to a man who could not see.
Do whatever it takes to gain the favor of God, so that God in return
before Constantine gave freedom to Christianity, Christians were still under persecution, were praying and asking God to give them strength to carry the cross. At the end of the 4th century, at the end of the 1500s, about 78 years of freedom of Christianity, Christians were praying and asking God to take the cross away from them. They say there are three types of Christians. The slave type of Christian, who does everything out of fear. I don't want that. If we want church growth, we have to become ourselves children of God. To be free, that's when the church grew. When the martyrs were sinking and going to death, not being afraid of anything, not being afraid of it. And then the people in the arena said, not everybody, because the people said, they're going to kill them, they don't want to kill them. But some people who had some mind, some brain in their skull, and some eyes to see, they saw that, you know what, there is something different with all these people. They are not afraid of death. If they are not afraid of death, they might not afraid of anything. I would like not to be afraid of anything. St. Paul says in the letter to the Hebrews that Christ came to give freedom to those who are captive by the fear of death all night long. Who was to live a life under fear? And who wants to live a life in the liberty of God? To know that whatever happens to me is by God's grace and nothing could kill me. Because I've already died and resurrected the Lord. Therefore, we are faithful. Let us really try to become children of God, who are not afraid of anything, because once again, St. Paul says in the Romans, the creation itself also will be delivered from the bottom of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.